I know Morgan shared with you, I got to listen to those, and I'm not just saying this because I'm her mom, but the Lord really blessed those messages, and I'm sure you were blessed by them. His word is, it's so powerful, and the work of His Spirit and how He speaks to our hearts, and He opens our eyes to see those things in His word. It really is living and powerful. So we're in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30 tonight. We've been in for a few weeks, just for a little review, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Philippians. Remember that Paul had visited the city of Philippi, and he started the church there, and he is writing this letter to all the saints who are in Philippi at that time, and then also, of course, writing to us. And at the time of his writing, remember that Paul was in prison. He was chained 24 hours a day to a guard, and he was in prison for his faith, for his faith in Jesus Christ and for preaching the gospel. He began the letter, of course, thanking the Lord for them and explaining his circumstances to them, that he was in chains. And then he quickly moved on to the purpose of his letter. Now, they remember that the Philippians had given him a gift, a financial gift to help support him, because the prison didn't take care of you. You had to depend on family and friends. And so they sent this gift of money to him, and he's writing the letter thanking them for that. And then he also, throughout the letter, he's addressing this issue of unity within their church, because there was an issue between two women that there was some division, and that'll be a later study. But anytime there is a division, it not only affects the two people, it affects the people around it, but it affects the entire body. And so it's a good reminder all through the book about the love and the unity. Let's pick it up in verse 27. He said, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me." So what Paul is saying in these few verses is that we are to live for Christ no matter what our circumstances may be. No matter if there's persecution, which there was against Paul, and he was imprisoned for it. No matter if there's opposition in our lives, or ridicule, or mocking in our lives, we're to live for Christ. Or no matter who we are around, we are to live for Christ. Now, Paul, he certainly suffered persecution, and he had talked about it, and, you know, he's in chains and he suffered persecution from those who didn't believe in Christ, and even from those who did believe in Christ, because they didn't like what he had to say. But he was persecuted and he was in prison because to live as Christ, and he lived for Christ and he preached the gospel. Now, Jesus told us that if they persecuted him, that they will persecute us. So if you hold your place in Philippians and turn over to John chapter 15, we'll read as Jesus is speaking to his disciples and then also to us. John chapter 15, verse 18. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. So Jesus, he had told us that we will suffer persecution. He certainly did. And if we're his disciples and we're living for him, then we will too. Peter wrote in his first epistle, and he wrote that epistle to all Christians at that time who had been scattered throughout the world because of the persecution. And he wrote to them in 1 Peter 4:12, and he said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't be surprised when you're persecuted, when this trial, when this suffering comes upon you. Jesus warned us in the Gospels. Paul and Peter remind us through their epistles that we will suffer persecution. Paul said in 2 Timothy, yes, all those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who desire to live godly, those who are saying, just as Paul, for to me to live is Christ. If I'm going to live for Christ, if I even want to live for Christ, and I'm trying to live for Christ, I will suffer persecution. You will suffer persecution. Because the world doesn't, they didn't like Christ. They're not going to like Christ in you or Christ in me. Now, Paul wrote in verse 27 that our conduct should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether he's there with the Philippians or whether he's gone, he wanted their conduct to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. They were citizens of heaven, not of the world. They lived in Philippi, it was a Roman colony, and they had to obey the law of the land, but they had to obey a higher law, that law of heaven. They were citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Though we live in Modesto, we live in California, we live in the United States, our citizenship is in heaven. Peter said in his first epistle in 2:9, he said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. We've been chosen. We've been called out of this world. We're his people. We are citizens of heaven. We're no longer in darkness. We're in the light. And we need to live like a citizen of heaven. We need to live a different kind of life. The word Christian, it should mean something. And anymore, it's almost like you hear somebody's a Christian and you want to say, well, what kind? You know, what kind of a Christian? Is it, you know, a Sunday morning Christian, just a nominal Christian, a carnal Christian? You know, what kind of Christian? But Christian, it means Christ-like. So it should mean, when you say Christian, we should, oh, somebody who's like Jesus. Oh, they're going to be very different from this world. Ephesians 4:1 tells us to have a walk worthy of the calling with which we were called. And then Colossians 1:10 that we're to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And Paul says in here, our conduct, our way of life, manner of life should be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, Jesus said again in Matthew 5, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of, by men. You are the light of the world. A city is, that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are to be different, a different kind of people, a peculiar people. We've been saved to be different and to make a difference. And Paul is telling us we're not to be afraid to be so. He didn't want them to be afraid of his chains. Here's the Apostle Paul. To me, to live as Christ. He lived for Christ. He preached the gospel. Look where it got him. He's chained to a guard. He's in prison. What kind of a life is that? I don't want that to happen to me. And he's telling them, don't be afraid. And the Lord's speaking to us tonight. Don't be afraid to be different. You are different. Remember, you're chosen. You're called to be different. When we live for Christ, we are going to be different. We're going to look different. We're going to talk different. We're going to act different. We're going to think different than this world. Now, when the children of Israel were in Egypt and they were there for 400 years and they multiplied and grew into a great people, a great nation. But they were there for that long of a time. And though they had their own separate area in Egypt that they lived in and they kept to themselves, although they were slaves, so they intermingled and everything. They still took on the ways of Egypt. It's going to happen. And Egypt in Scripture is a type of the world for us. We live in this world. And we take on the ways of the world. The children of Israel took on the ways of Egypt, even though they didn't maybe do it on purpose or intentionally. It just kind of happens because it's all around you or all around them. And when God was leading them out of Egypt and into the promised land, he gave them detailed instructions on how to live, on how to be different. And I love reading Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, sometimes it's really hard to get through Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy because you're just reading all of the ceremonial things and the hygiene and this and that. But for me, when I keep in my mind, wow, God is really making a distinction between his people and the people of the world. He's giving them very thorough, detailed instructions. What to eat, how to just personal hygiene, how to dress, what not to do, what to do, all of those things, because he wanted his people separate. This is the way you're to live. This is the way you're to conduct yourself in a worthy manner. This is the way you're going to reflect who I am. I am a holy God, and I want holy people. My people should be holy. They shouldn't look like the Egyptians. They shouldn't practice like the Egyptians. And so for us, we shouldn't look like the world. We shouldn't act like the world. We are different. We are his children. And a couple of times in Exodus when God was pouring out those plagues on Pharaoh, he spoke and he said, "I will make a difference between my people and your people, Pharaoh. I will make a difference." And some of those plagues, they did not hit the children of Israel. They were protected. There was a difference because God said, these are my people. I'm protecting them from that. They're not going to look like you. Now, when Jesus walked this earth and he ministered for those 3.5 years, he was very different. Very different. When he showed up in the Galilee and in Jerusalem, he was so different from all of the religious leaders. Everyone knew it. Everyone could see the difference. He loved. He cared. He was a servant. He spoke differently. He taught differently. He acted differently. And we're to be like Jesus in every situation that we're in. In all manner of life, we're to conduct ourselves in a worthy manner that's worthy of him, worthy of the gospel. So these differences now in the context of these verses, Paul is talking about the difference that should be evident in the Christian's life is that of love and unity between the believers. He said to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He said, they will know that you, my people, that you're my people by the love you have for one another. But that's going to be next week's lesson. But that's the context of these verses, is that love and that unity. You're going to be so different because the world is not unified. It is nothing but conflict and division and all that. So for the Christians to be unified in a holy way, that really makes a difference. But there are a lot of other ways that we are to be different, that we can be different, and that we should be different in. That we can be salt and that we can be light. And a lot of these ways, as we live for Christ, we may suffer persecution because of it. Now, you know, we live in a country that's very protected from that. You know, we know when we read those stories from the Gospel for Asia and what some of those men and those women go through in the way of persecution. They get beaten. You know, that just doesn't happen here yet. It may not, but it may. So our persecution is very different, I think. But when we live for Christ and we are different, we may be persecuted for it. We're to be different. One of the ways we are to be very different from the world, and this, I don't know, this might seem like a small thing, but it is who we give praise and thanks to publicly. That really makes a distinction. We are very different when we say, oh, that was the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Do you know what he did for me? Oh, he protected me here. When we say those kind of things out loud in front of unbelievers, because unbelievers in the world, they take all the credit for themselves. It is almost humorous to be around certain unbelievers because they just toot their own horn and puff themselves up and take the credit for everything. It's just, and they really believe it. They really think that they did that good thing, or it was good luck, or, you know, or whatever. When we just verbalize, the Lord protected me on the road, or he did this in my life, that makes a difference. I mean, we just think, well, what is that, you know? But, you know, you can back down and not say those things out of fear that they're going to mock you, or they're not going to understand, or you're going to look silly, or that kind of thing. But it makes a difference. That's being salt, and that's being light. And praying publicly. You know, when we go out and we're going to have a meal, pray for our meal. Or to, when we see somebody in a store and they need some help, pray for them. What a witness that is. That's really odd to the world. They look at that and they think, that is just weird. What are those people doing? But we're making a difference. We're being different. Keeping a biblical standard in our lives is being very different. Being honest in any kind of business deal or any kind of anything, when they give you too much change back, being honest and giving it back to them. You know, those are very odd things to the world. When you stand up and you're honest, or you will not compromise. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that. I cannot do that. Well, why not? Because that goes against the Holy Spirit within me. It goes against the Bible. It goes against what the heart of the Lord is. Those kind of things make a difference in this world because it's so odd. It's so, they're not used to that kind of a thing. Our language or speech, that should be really different from the world's. In what they talk about and the gossip, the slander, and the slang. I think most Christians, they don't, you know, they're not going to use swear words, but we use the slang words. And when you hear that, there's no difference. There's no difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. It all looks the same. It sounds the same. We need to be different. They'll notice, oh, she has a clean mouth. She doesn't use filthy language. She doesn't even use the slang. You know, and I personally cringe every time I hear Christians using slang. And it's not because I'm this real holy person. It's because I had a filthy mouth before I came to know the Lord. And so all those words are unfortunately still in there. And so when I hear the slang, it goes immediately to the real word. And so it just makes me cringe. We're to be different in our speech. We're not to talk like the world talks. That makes a huge difference in people's lives. They will notice that. Our appearance, it should be different from the world. Now, it does not mean that we all need to wear the same thing, and it doesn't mean that we can't go with the trends and we can't look nice. It doesn't mean that, but it means we need to be modest. I don't know if you've looked around the world today. Actually, it's mostly our country, and it's mostly California. Where you look around and the immodesty is just appalling. It's just awful in what people just let hang out. And we ought not to look like that. We need to be different. There needs to be a difference in our appearance. And people will notice that. There's also, and I know Morgan shared on this last week, but there are also liberties that we need to forsake because they'll cause confusion. There are certain liberties that when we partake of them, there's no difference. We look just like the world because we're doing the same thing as the world, and they won't see a difference. They won't see a difference, and they need to see a difference. And there's where some of the mocking can come in. Because as a Christian, if you take that stand and you forsake the liberty, it's like, oh yeah, I could do that, but I don't want to because of the appearance. Because of what the statement it's going to make to unbelievers. And we all have, you know, those things in our mind where we know what we would be stumbled over if we knew that somebody did, that maybe they could do it, but it would stumble us. Well, unbelievers are no different. They know. You know, they have a picture painted of a Christian that's probably all wrong. But when they see Christians and they don't see a difference, that doesn't work. You know, we don't win other people to the Lord by becoming like other people, by becoming like this world. And sadly, there's a little bit of a trend in younger people in the body of Christ right now where they're into being hip. And they, you know, they have these little hipster churches and there's no difference. When you look at them, there's no difference. They have the tattoos and the piercing and the cool and they're, yeah, whatever. And I'll go out and have a drink and hang out here. Yeah, we're just like each other. You're not supposed to be like each other. You're supposed to be different. Why would you, if you're a kid or an adult and you're out in the, you know, the party scene and all that, and you want to get involved in a church, why would you go in? You want something different. We need to be different. So to lay aside those things that could cause confusion, we need to look different. If there is an inconsistency between what we believe and how we conduct ourselves, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We are to be different. If we believe the Bible, we believe God's standard and His holiness, then it needs to come out in our lives, or people won't see a difference. And if they don't see a difference, they're not going to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in our lives. Now, sometimes, a lot of times, those differences people don't like. People in the world do not like the differences, and they may mock us. You may have family members that mock you because you don't drink or you don't watch certain TV shows or watch certain movies, or you go to church on Sunday and you don't go to the ball games, or you don't do the sports, or you don't, whatever it might be, and they may mock. And you know, that's really about the extent of our persecution. Maybe some of you have lost a job or something like that over your stand for Christ. But I think for the most part, it's the mocking, it's the ridicule, it's the looking down upon those little prudish Christian people kind of a thing where, oh yeah, that's right, you can't do that because you're a Christian or whatever. Those little subtle little things, but that's persecution. And that, Paul is saying, don't be afraid to be different. Don't back down because those things are happening. Rise up and say, yes, I am different. I am living for Christ. We should not allow fear to stop us or hinder us at all from properly walking with the Lord or living for Him. To take a stand, again, people need to see the difference. Psalm 56:11 says, in God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I like that. You know, those times where you're feeling like, oh, they're going to make fun of me because of I you know, prayed in public, or I said, praise the Lord, or, you know, I said, no, I don't drink, or no, I don't want to do that. Now they're going to make fun of me kind of a thing. No, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Why am I so concerned about what that unbeliever is going to think? Shouldn't I be more concerned about what pleases the Lord? What is going to please you, Lord? I will be a fool for you. And that's where what Paul is saying in his prison cell to these Philippian believers, saying, conduct yourself in a worthy manner and not in any way terrified, verse 28, terrified by your adversaries. Don't be terrified by them. Don't be afraid of them. It is a privilege for us not only to believe and to be saved, but to suffer for His sake. And the suffering that He's talking about here, it's not the trials and the things that, you know, the tribulation and those kind of things that come upon us. He's talking about the persecution, the suffering for Jesus' sake. Let's not hide our lamp under that basket. And maybe some of us have. And I have had the Lord search my heart, and I've been convicted in a few areas. Don't put that lamp under a basket. Don't lose your saltiness. Don't be afraid. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So they laugh. So they mock. So they misunderstand. God will take care of that. He'll take care of that. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Peter wrote in chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, "But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified." When our conduct, when our way of life is worthy of the gospel of Christ, it's when we so let our light so shine in this world. And I like that little picture again back in Exodus where God, one of the plagues, he had darkness on the face of Egypt, but the light, there was light in the dwellings of all the children of Israel. They were in their homes and there was light. And there was such darkness in the land, they couldn't even see their hand in front of their face. But there was light in the dwelling. That's what we are, the light of the world. So when we shine like that, there will be a difference in our lives. People will see a difference. And as Jesus said, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They will glorify the Lord. Now, some of them, that's what's going to drive them to the Lord. Your life, your light, your saltiness. They will glorify the Lord in you. And they will be driven to him because of your life. Sometimes quietly and unknown to us, we don't know the impact we're making on people. Sometimes we do know, but then there's a lot of other people who one day they will glorify the Lord. They're not doing it now. They are the ones who are going to be persecuting us. But one day, when every knee bows, they will glorify the Lord. And Father, I pray for my life and for the lives of my sisters, Lord, that if we have turned our light down, or if we've been hiding under a basket, or if we're not salty anymore, Lord, if we back down in some areas because we think people won't understand, they'll misunderstand, or we don't want to draw attention to ourselves, or we don't want to be mocked or ridiculed, Lord, I pray that you would shine your light on those areas in our lives, and that you would, Lord, cause us to turn around and turn that light up and to be salt, to be light, to stand firm for you, to live our lives in a way that's worthy, in a way that's fully pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that you would use our lives so that others may see you, that there would be a difference, and the difference would be Christ in us. And that people would see that difference, and it would cause them to wonder and cause them to be thirsty. And it would cause them to seek you and then to glorify you. Lord, we want our lives, everything that we say, everything that we do, and everything that we think, to glorify you. And so, Lord, would you take these things and these truths of your word and these scriptures that we read and find a place for them in our hearts and in our lives, and that we would apply them, and that you would do a great and a mighty work in us, Lord, and through us. And Father, I pray that as the women go into their groups, that they would be like iron sharpening iron to one another. They would be encouragers, exhorters, and prayer warriors for one another. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.